Guys,
welcome back
to the Flake Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane
and I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. It's really pretty outside.
It's very pretty
for now.
For now, it's the Midwest.
It's the Midwest, and it could get hotter. It's still relatively early.
Yeah.
But I was like, walked outside, and I was like, nice.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I love when it gets into like the 70s,
and if it would just get into the like 70s, 60s,
right.
60s being like. You know, the 70s being the hottest, that would be really nice.
I just want, like, a couple weeks of that, but we're not going to get it.
No, it's going to go straight from this
to winter.
100% ice on the ground.
Yes.
Like, can't drive, dangerous, disgusting.
Yeah, it's going to go pretty fast.
I know, I hate it.
We do not get any nice weather here.
Not really.
Just in, like, days, not in, like, spans of weeks.
Weeks, I know. You're like, I just want it to be fall.
No.
We don't get fall. We get... summer and winter with, like, 2 days
false fall.
Of decent
yeah.
weather.
We saw this movie yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we, you knew we had to see it as soon as we paused.
Oh, guys, you knew that we had to talk about this. Like, it has just taken up so much space in my brain.
For a year.
For a year. And then also ramping up, it has also just taken even more space in my brain.
We're, of course, talking about the infamous
Don't Worry, Darling. Both, we're going to talk about the off-screen alleged drama and also confirmed drama.
And then we're going to talk about the on-screen drama.
Yes, which...
not as interesting as the off-screen drama, I would say.
I would say.
this movie, let's see, we first heard about it about a year ago.
Yes, we love Flo Pugh and we really like Booksmart. Mm-hmm. So we were really excited to see what Olivia Wilde was doing.
Yeah, this is her second... film
yep.
as a director.
Mm-hmm.
She also does have a pretty large role in the movie.
Which is strange.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, hey, why even pretend that we're not just making movies to cast ourselves?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Why even pretend that we're not gonna... we tried it for Booksmart and then we said...
let's just drop the facade.
Let's drop the facade. I'm making movies so that I can be in them, not because I care about making movies.
Right. It really colored the experience that I had of the film, having her in the movie. I think it would have been... I honestly think that Kate Berlant would have been better than her in that role.
Yeah. Or just someone else. There's a lot of people that are Olivia Wilde's type in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, she clearly needed to focus a little more
on the directing.
Yeah, directing could have used a little bit more focus.
Yeah, it's definitely, it felt lacking in the directing part of department.
Yeah.
A lot, and we'll talk about it.
But today, I think what we're going to do is start with the drama.
Yes.
The off-screen drama. That way, if you have not seen the movie, you will be able to pause the episode until you see it if you're just, like, dying to listen.
Yeah.
And you'll get drama first,
and then
movie thoughts second.
And we'll probably tie it all up in a nice little bow, or a messy bow, knowing us, at the very end.
Or we'll just end it.
Or we'll just end it. And then it sort of just ends.
Okay. So, Jane, you have actually now, Jane and I both have a pretty good working knowledge
yes.
of the drama from our brains.
I think I have a pretty clear timeline in my head of what seems to have transpired.
But just as a sort of on the record timeline,
mm-hmm.
you've got an article from Vulture?
Yes, from Vulture. So this is a Vulture article by Jennifer Zahn, and it's called How Did Don't Worry, Darling Become So Worrying?
Mm.
So I'm not going to get into a ton of the... stuff that they're going to explain about the movie. But it came out, and here we go. I'm going to start whenever we are forming the cast.
Yes, so this is pre-production.
Yes, so this is April 24th, 2020. Florence Pugh was announced as the lead housewife of Don't Worry, Darling. According to Deadline, the movie will be set in an isolated, seemingly utopian community. Not exactly foreign to Pugh, as she was in Midsommar.
Mm-hmm.
She tweeted, "At Olivia Wilde is my idol and allowed me to be a part of this fecking incredible cast." Shia, Chris, Pugh writes in an Instagram caption. Wilde is equally as excited. "This cast is bananas. I'm the happiest director in the world. To say that I'm honored, excited, elated, shitting myself would be a massive understatement." So that's Olivia Wilde.
And we too were shitting ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, from the surface level, you're like, wow, this is Florence Pugh.
Chris Pine.
And at the time, Shia LaBeouf.
And you're like, damn, that's finna be a good movie.
Yeah.
And Olivia Wilde. And that sounds cool.
Yeah. I mean, we like Booksmart. She's fine in her movies that she's been in that she hasn't been directing.
We were thinking, sure.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? Great. So, September 11th, 2020, Harry Styles boards Don't Worry Darling as Pugh's new on-screen husband. He replaces LaBeouf, who Deadline reports is departing the movie because a scheduling conflict.
Mm-hmm.
November 2020, Wilde. Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis break up after 9 years together.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Sudeikis confirmed that the breakup happened in November of 2020. They have two kids. And then in November 13th, 2020, Wilde tells Vogue that she was excited to cast Styles in a leading role because his fashion sense matched the movies.
What?
Yeah. Heightened and opulent style.
Are you kidding me? He has a stylist. His stylist fashion sense matches the movie. You should hire him for costuming. Not hire a man whose stylist dresses him in every appearance he has. And then he's like... Oh my god, so transparent.
She recalls that she and costume designer Arianne Phillips did a little victory dance when his casting was confirmed.
What the fuck are you talking about? Anyone can wear a costume.
Yeah, that's not, what are you talking about? You cast him because he looks good in the costumes and looks good in the aesthetic? So you cast him for aesthetic reasons.
Which, like, whatever, but Harry Styles isn't the only hot man that wears florals.
So true.
Like, let's be honest. Oh, Harry Styles. I mean, no hate to Harry Styles. Is like, he dresses nice.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not the only actor that wears floral print.
December 11th, 2020. The New York Times reports that FKA Twigs has sued Shia LaBeouf, accusing him of relentless physical, mental, and emotional abuse during their 9-month relationship. The sexual battery lawsuit includes allegations that LaBeouf strangled her, knowingly gave her an STD, deprived her of sleep, and isolated her from others. Carolyn Pha, another ex of LaBeouf's, is mentioned as another alleged victim of his abuse. Twigs says that she will donate a significant portion of the monies to charities that fight domestic violence if she wins. According to the Times, LaBeouf responds to the lawsuit in multiple emails. In one, he claims that many of the allegations are false, but concedes that his exes deserve the opportunity to air their statements publicly, and notes that he needs to accept accountability for those things that I have done. In another, he reportedly writes, I have been abusive to myself and everyone around me for years. I have a history of hurting people that are closest to me. I'm ashamed of that history, and I'm sorry to those I hurt. There's nothing else I can really say.
And, like, this is to all this, like, what we're about to talk about. We are not defending Shia LaBeouf as a person. Shia LaBeouf clearly
has some issues.
Has issues, substance abuse, mental health issues,
violence issues, anger issues.
And this is like a well documented thing that both it has tons of out like third party documentation.
Yes.
But also Shia LaBeouf himself has admitted to having extreme issues with like his temper.
Yes.
And
so admittedly, he has admitted to at least doing some of these things.
Like, more than likely, FKA Twigs was abused. Like,
yes.
More than likely.
So, we're not defending Shia LaBeouf. Let's just make that blanket statement right now.
But at this point, these allegations have come out after he's...
Or cast. Right.
After he's been departed.
Right.
After he's departed Don't Worry Darling.
Yes.
For, at the time, what we think is scheduling conflicts.
Right. December 12th, 2020, Wilde posts a screenshot of the Times article to her Instagram story to express her love and respect and support for FKA Twigs in the light of the lawsuit against Don't Worry Darling's former leading man. December 24th, 2020, Variety claims that despite previous reports, Shia LaBeouf did not actually leave Don't Worry Darling because of scheduling conflicts. Unnamed sources tell the outlet that he exhibited poor behavior and his style clashed with the cast and crew, including Wilde, who ultimately fired him.
I believe the style in that case is referring to acting style.
Yes. But that's funny that they would say that in that way whenever they previously mentioned the style. Anyway, that's funny. So now it's coming out that Wilde fired him. Supposedly, but we'll talk about that.
Wilde is saying too.
Yeah, that she's like, I don't deal with assholes on my set. Yeah.
So she's saying that
she's taking responsibility pretty much for him leaving the cast.
Yeah.
January 2021, LaBeouf starts treatment and enters an inpatient facility at some point during this month, according to Variety. It's not clear what he is being treated for, though he previously admitted to alcoholism and aggression. He reportedly decides to take a break from acting and voluntarily leaves his talent agency. So yeah, seems like he is in recovery for his many, many issues. January 4th, 2021. Per Page Six, 28-year-old Harry Styles and 38-year-old Olivia Wilde are dating. The pair are photographed holding hands while at a wedding for Styles' manager. According to Us, he refers to Wilde as his girlfriend while officiating the ceremony.
So that takes next to no time from the time she and...
So Jason Sudeikis and she broke up in November and she gets with him in January.
At least publicly.
At least publicly. So, not terribly long. January 5th, 2021. People publishes a report claiming that Wilde and Styles made their relationship obvious on the set of Don't Worry, Darling. What started out as a close friendship quickly turned romantic, a source tells the outlet. Everyone saw it coming. During breaks, he hasn't been able to stay away and visited her trailer. Reportedly, Styles is seen standing outside of his director and co-star's trailer chatting with her during the shoot. So, press tour. February 4th, 2021. In a conversation for Variety's Directors on Directors series, Wilde tells promising young woman director Emerald Fennell that she has a no-assholes policy to keep everybody on set on the same level. She explained that she was once told to assert her power as a director by having three big arguments a day on set. According to Wilde, the advice actually helped her by persuading her to do the exact opposite.
Okay, I was like, what?
What? February 6, 2021. People reports that Wilde and Styles' work romance is still going strong. They have been spending all their time together as filming for Don't Worry, Darling continues, a source says. Matthew Bellany's Puck newsletter later claims that Pugh was unhappy with how often the couple disappeared together. Three people who worked on the movie reportedly recall that the budding relationship was pretty obvious and annoying because Styles and Wilde were nowhere to be found during setups of shots. One source said that they witnessed a tense conversation about the issue between Wilde and Pugh, who was particularly angered by the absences. Yeah, that's upsetting.
I would be too. Also, the setups, that's like a big time.
Yeah, for a director.
To be there.
February 14th, 2021. The movie appears to have been wrapped. Wilde marks the occasion by posting an Instagram photo of her hugging Pugh on the set of Don't Worry, Darling. To work with an actor as talented and brave as Florence Pugh is any director's dream, she writes in the caption, I will forever be grateful for you, Flo. It was an honor to be your captain. February 15th, 2021. Wilde posts another social media shout-out, this time praising Harry Styles for being willing to play a supporting role in a female-led film. No joke, it is hard to find actors who recognize why it might be worth it to allow for a woman to hold the spotlight, she writes in the lengthy caption.
Okay, that sounds fake.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Enter Harry Styles, our Jack. Not only did he relish the opportunity to allow for a brilliant Florence Pugh to hold center stage as our Alice, but he infused every scene with a nuanced sense of humanity.
Wow.
Goldfish face.
We could argue about
that. I don't want an ad. Sorry. Okay. December 9th, 2021. Oh, wait, sorry. September 13th, 2021. Wilde drops an 11-second teaser for Don't Worry, Darling that includes shots of Pugh making out with her on-screen husband, Harry Styles, Chris Pine screaming in a white tux, and Pugh attempting to rip cellophane off her head. The clip ends by revealing that the movie will be released in September 23rd, 2022. December 9th, 2021, Wilde tells Vogue that she's been wondering why isn't any good sex in film anymore. The piece alludes to a scene in Don't Worry, Darling, where Styles performs oral sex on Pugh. Lots of cunnilingus in this movie.
Lots of oral sex going on in this film.
When asked about it, Wilde says that she wants her audience to realize how rarely they see female hunger and specifically this type of female pleasure. She adds that Styles was originally shortlisted for his role before the pandemic, but his tour conflicted with the movie's shoot schedule. When LaBeouf left, COVID-19 canceled Styles' tour, leaving him available again. Wilde doesn't comment directly on her romantic relationship with Styles, stating that it doesn't matter what strangers think when you're really happy. April 26, 2022. Wilde attends CinemaCon to introduce a new trailer for Don't Worry, Darling. She is publicly served with a manila envelope that she is at first thinks contains a script. It's later revealed that the contents are custody papers from her ex, Sudeikis. The trailer, released onto public on May 2nd, shows housewives like Alice being instructed to stay at home while men go out to work for the Victory Project. To her husband's displeasure, Alice begins to have doubts about the system of dinner and ballet lessons and decides to try to break free.
This did not come out in the trailers to me.
No.
I didn't, but I also looked up nothing. Like, I only basically watched the trailers.
Right.
And the trailers gave absolutely nothing.
And we'll talk about the things they chose to include in the trailers.
Yeah.
Social media particularly fixates on the scene of Jack going down on Alice on a dining table. May 2nd, 2022. Per Rolling Stone, FKA Twigs wins a trial date for the claims of sexual battery, assault, and intentional infliction of emotional distress that she first made in December 2020. A reported attempt at mediation failed to result in a settlement, and the civil case is scheduled to go before a jury in 2023. July 21st, 2022. A second official trailer is released showing more glimpses of the seemingly idyllic community and the way Alice becomes disillusioned with it. Yes, it also includes another look at the oral sex. July 30th of 2022, page 6 suggests that Wilde and Stiles' relationship started as an affair. I can tell you for a fact that Flo seeing Olivia and Harry all over each other on set did not go down well as Olivia was still with Jason Sudeikis when she first hooked up with Harry. An insider reportedly says, we don't know that. The insider also claims that Sudeikis visited the set of Don't Worry Darling with the two children he shares with Wilde. That's sad. August 10th, 2022. Wilde alleges in a court filings obtained by the Daily Mail that Sudeikis was trying to embarrass and threaten her by having her served with custody papers in front of thousands of film execs at CinemaCon. Sudeikis maintains that he did not want the documents to be served so publicly and regrets the way it happened.
That's probably not true. He probably did that on purpose.
August 16th, 2022. Pew pushes back against excitement for Don't Worry Darling being focused on her on-screen intimacy with Stiles. When it's reduced to your sex scenes or to watch the most famous man in the world go down on someone, it's not why we do it, she tells Harper's Bazaar. It's not why I'm in this industry. Obviously, the nature of hiring the most famous pop star in the world, you're going to have conversations like this. That's just not what I'm going to be discussing. Be discussing because this movie is bigger and better than that, and the people who made it are bigger and better than that. So she is not happy with the amount of time the trailers are focusing on sex.
And she's not happy with how every single conversation about this movie is about Harry Styles going down on her.
Right.
When it's like, okay, isn't the whole, like, wow, isn't Harry such a good guy to be in a female-led movie? Isn't he such a great guy to not have to be the exact lead in the movie? It's like, he's still the male lead.
Like
a ginormous film. Let's calm down on the, isn't Harry Styles such a great guy for taking a small role?
August 22nd, 2022. Styles makes headlines by addressing the queerbaiting accusations he has faced. In response to claims that he has publicly dated only women, he argues to Rolling Stone that he hasn't publicly dated anyone. He and Wilde may have been spotted on dates in London and Italy, but Styles contends that getting photographed doesn't mean a relationship was intended to be public. Wilde states in the article that she doesn't believe the toxic negativity stems from her not so secret boyfriend's fan base. The majority of them are true champions of kindness, she says. So she's like upset with us.
She's like, no, it's not Harry Styles fans.
Yeah.
It's like everybody else.
Oh my god! This section is called Shia Shia.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of the whole drama.
I would agree.
This is when she gets caught in a lie.
Yeah, this is when everything up until this point, I think, had pretty much just been like, okay, it's fucking weird that they're dating. But
right.
That's not really to do with the movie.
Right.
And the one thing Florence had said about not really liking the sex stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then there was one, and people were talking about how Florence wasn't posting anything. That was essentially all the drama was until this.
Yes. Woo, I remember when this dropped. This is crazy. August 24th, 2022, Variety publishes a lengthy feature on Wilde and Don't Worry Darling. In it, Wilde talks about LaBeouf's leaving the movie for the first time, and Variety reports that she decided to fire him for his difficult behavior shortly after production started in 2020. I say this as someone who is such an admirer of his work, she says. His process was not conducive to the ethos that I demand in my productions. He has a process that, in some ways, seems to require a combative energy, and I don't personally believe that is conducive to the best performances. Wilde adds that she needed an incredibly supportive energy on Don't Worry Darling because of the movie's content. I knew that I was going to be asking Florence to be in a very vulnerable situation, and my priority was making her feel safe and making her feel supported, she says. She notes that she was really troubled by allegations that came to light after LaBeouf's role was recast, but claims that she wishes him health and evolution as a self-described proponent of restorative justice. Wilde also takes the interview as an opportunity to take up several other topics that have become a part of the conversation around the movie. For example, she emphasizes her desire to portray female pleasure, dismisses the rumored pay disparity as invented clickbait, and expands on her displeasure with the CinemaCon incident with Sudeikis' custody papers. She says, I mean, there's a reason I left that relationship. Wilde indirectly comments on rumors of Pugh's frustration with the director's onset relationship with Stiles, noting that she believes the tabloid media is a tool to pit women against each other and to shame them. Okay.
I don't disagree, but I do think it's some bird dogging there to get yourself not in trouble, because, like, just being like, wow, the media hates women, and I'm a woman, and this is all because of that, and it's like, well, why won't Florence say that?
Yeah, exactly. Pugh declines to be interviewed for the story, and her publicist tells Variety that she is busy filming Dune Part 2. But Stiles is available to answer questions and has plenty of compliments for his director, co-star, girlfriend's approach to the movie. She communicated what she was looking for from the cast with both clarity and respect, he says over email. I think transitioning from acting into directing has made her a director who knows how to get the best out of everyone. Well, did she get the best out of you, Harry? Debatable.
The reviews say no.
Woo! August 26, 2022, LaBeouf disputes that Wilde fired him, and he has receipts!
He has a lot of receipts.
He has a lot of receipts. And this is where people are like, well, he's a bad person, so he's lying. I'm like, he has the receipts, though. Maybe he's not
a great person, but I don't think he's lying.
About this. Like, just because you lie about other things doesn't mean you lie about everything. Variety publishes two emails that he claims he sent to Wilde after her interview ran. You and I both know the reason for my exit, he writes. I quit your film because your actors and I couldn't find time to rehearse. Variety reviews screenshots of texts from August 2020 in which he tells Wilde he will pull out of Don't Worry, Darling. According to the messages, the pair met in person on August 16th, 2020 to talk about his decision. Thanks for letting me in on your thought process, Wilde texts him after the meeting. I know that isn't fun. Doesn't feel good to say no to someone, and I respect your honesty. I'm honored you were willing to go there with me and for me to tell a story with you. I'm gutted because it could have been something special. And then there's a video.
This is really the damning piece.
Yes.
Here.
This video is like, you can't fake this.
No.
LaBeouf also sends Variety a video of Wilde asking him to consider staying on the film. Shia, Shia, she says in a sing-song voice at the beginning of a 45-second clip. She's driving, by the way.
Yeah.
That's also an infuriating part of this.
Like, you ever notice that, like, all the celebrities, they're always driving.
I know, like...
They're always driving.
She expresses that she is heartbroken and not ready to give up on him. I think this might be a bit of a wake-up call for Miss Flo, she says with a sigh, asking if he'll give the movie another shot, if Pugh really commits, if she really puts her mind and heart into it. She claims that she respects both Pugh's and LaBeouf's point of view and is hopeful that they can make peace with each other. The video begins circulating online with a Time's Up Olivia watermark. That same day, a studio executive tells The Wrap that Pugh's availability is expected to be limited owing to her role in the Dune sequel. Wow, Dune is just really taking the fall for this.
Yeah, they're like, Dune's like, tell them whatever. We'll say yeah. We'll back you up.
Yep. Reportedly, other than an appearance at the movie's Venice Film Festival premiere on September 5th, Pugh will not be doing press for Don't Worry, Darling. September 5th, 2022. At the Venice Film Festival press conference for Don't Worry, Darling, Wilde is asked if she can comment on her alleged tension with Pugh, but she skirts the question by praising Pugh's acting. She also mentioned that as a director, she understands why Pugh's schedule is so packed for the Dune sequel. As for all the endless tabloid gossip and all the noise out there, the internet feeds itself, Wilde adds. I don't feel the need to contribute. I think it's sufficiently well-nourished. When another journalist tries to bring up LaBeouf, the moderator blocks the question and says that Wilde's thoughts about the internet rumor mill are already an answer. Later that evening, Pugh walks the Don't Worry, Darling red carpet. Pugh, Wilde, and Stiles appear together in one photo, separated by co-stars. And according to Variety, a constant buffer of reps and other actors keeps the trio split up for the rest and the rest of the red carpet.
And, do they talk about the clapping?
I don't know. As Stiles sits for the screening, he appears to spit on Chris Pine's lap, or at least the internet convinces itself that he did based on Pine's reaction in a now viral footage. I think that was just an awkward interaction.
I don't think he did.
No.
There are videos from other angles where it's pretty clear.
Yeah,
that
I think it just...
not spit on Chris Pine.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're just... It seems Chris Pine's uncomfortable, which I would be too if I was sitting in between Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles.
Very weird interaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't Worry, Darling reportedly premieres to a 4-minute standing ovation, during which Pugh makes a point of clapping for Wilde. The applause ends when Pugh makes her way to the exit. The rest of the cast follows shortly after, and Wilde is the last to leave.
Okay. This is, for those who don't know, a big deal. Because at the Venice Film Festival, and many film festivals, audiences will give, like, the standing ovation is, like, a symbol for how good the movie is.
Right.
So, like, just to give you a... At that same Venice Film Festival, the longest standing ovation was 13 minutes.
What was that for?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And the shortest was 3 minutes.
Okay.
Theirs was four minutes. And not because the audience was done clapping, mm-hmm. but because Florence left after 3 minutes of the standing ovation. She walked out. And then everybody else kind of had to walk out. So their ovation ended... because, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have gone, I don't know how long it would have gone, but it ended because Florence left in the middle of it, which is like a big,
big deal. Yeah. September 6, 2022. A representative for Chris Pine tells Variety, Spitgate doesn't amount to a bucket of spit. This is a ridiculous story. So yeah, he didn't do it. We already know that. September 7th, 2022. Harry Styles becomes the first of the parties involved to publicly comment on Spitgate, joking about it on stage. Meanwhile, Miss Flo, thanks to Don't Worry Darling cast and crew for the movie's Venice premiere, a huge, wonderful win in and of itself in an Instagram post. Pew declines to mention Wilde and Styles by name, but does give Chris Pine a special shout out. I also just can't help but post how bloody cute and hilarious Chris Pine is for being the number one photographer, getting down on white press trouser knees for angles. She writes, now that's dedication. Love you, Chrissy. They had, and we'll talk about this when we get to, like, the movie, but they had such good energy.
Yeah.
Like, just, they were really good together. September 8th, 2022. Olivia Wilde maintains that LaBeouf was let go after Pew expressed discomfort with the actor. My responsibility was towards Florence, Wilde says in an interview with Vanity Fair.
She says that?
Yeah.
After the video came out?
Yeah. I'm like a mother wolf. Making the call was tricky, but in a way he understood. I don't think it would have been a process he enjoyed. He comes at his work with an intensity that can be combative. In response to the text message and video leaks that complicate her claims, she calls the situation much more nuanced than that can be explained in private text released out of context. It is what it is.
No. He quit.
They're
clearly asking him back.
It is what it is, LaBeouf says in a dueling interview with Hollywood Reporter. Every blessing to her and her film. Sorry, internet darlings. The drama isn't over yet. September 16th, 2022. The New York Times reported that Wilde will no longer direct Perfect, a biopic of the Magnificent Seven gymnast Carrie Strug. Wilde abandoned the project due to issues with the script after requesting rewrites from multiple writers. September 17th, 2022. On the Hollywood Reporter's podcast Behind the Screen, Don't Worry Darling cinematographer Matthew Libatique claimed the rumors of an unprofessional set environment were untrue. When I hear that there are rumors of acrimony on the set, I reject it. It wasn't apparent at all, to be honest, he stated. From my standpoint, the stories are completely untrue when it comes to being on set. I can't speak to post-production at all.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Number one, Olivia's terrible at addressing this stuff. Like, every single time it gets addressed and someone asks, she's just like, I won't even dignify that with an answer. And it's like, no, bitch, just say it's not true.
Right.
And then also, if it's not true. I plead the fifth. Yeah, it's like you constantly being like, well, the internet's going to do what the internet does, is just like coming off as so like, I don't even need to dignify that. And it's like, right. No, there's like a lot of real evidence that this is happening.
There's a video.
And then also, if that's the case, why is Florence not coming out and talking about it? And, like, why is Florence not doing any press for the movie when she always does press for her movies?
There's also, and one last thing, September 21st, 2022, less than a week before the official release of Don't Worry Darling, and Olivia Wilde is still doing Spitgate damage control. On The Late Show, the director expressly denied that Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine at Venice, but Stephen Colbert was more interested in teaching the controversy. No, he did not, Wilde said. But I think it's a perfect example of, like, people will look for drama anywhere they can. Harry did not spit on Chris, in fact.
I mean, I don't think he did.
No.
But
that's not, like, the issue.
No.
That's not my issue.
He would have been stupid to spit on Chris Pine.
But the issue is that Olivia Wilde is claiming and portraying herself as if she is this hero to women, this champion for women, like, and she's like protecting Florence.
I protected Florence, and it's like,
no, you didn't. He quit. And then you wanted him back from the video, and you were almost putting it on Florence.
Yeah, he clearly quit. Also,
her stylists captioned all of her pictures, Miss Flo.
That's so fucking... It's just really weird to do that. Like, yeah. Florence's stylist?
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly a fucking bite at...
Yes. Like, it's obviously going on, you know? And they're not looking at each other at any of the premieres. She's not going to any premiere other than Venice.
No, she's... I mean, she's pretty... and there very recently... Now, this is super... This happened on Friday. There was a article that came out that supposedly is from a person from within the studio who said why, like, what happened.
Right.
Like, and they said that essentially that, like, Florence got really fed up with the fact that Olivia and Harry were never on set.
Yeah, they weren't showing
up. Shots were being, like, shot, and she was pissed off, and she was having to, like, make calls on setting up shots that she wasn't really supposed to have to be making, and that they got in a big, like, fight on set. Yeah. And that then all of that, like, got escalated up to an executive at Warner Brothers,
right.
And that guy said that, like, they renegotiated Florence's contract so that she didn't have to do any press about the film.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of evidence to support that happened, although that is all alleged. But just
from a quote-unquote insider source. Right. So,
but also, why isn't she at the premieres?
Well, and, like, whatever Dune is keeping her busy.
Yeah. Okay.
More than that, too, it would be so easy for Florence to say, like, no, I loved working with Olivia. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no bad blood between us. But she's not saying that.
Nope, she is not. And actually, the things that she's posting just seem to be
fueling the idea. Very few things that she has said, none of them have been positive towards Olivia Wilde at all.
And also...
And like, Olivia talking about the sex constantly, Florence has criticized that.
Yes, and I think it's so interesting that, like, Olivia Wilde's always talking about how it's a film about, like, female pleasure, and then in an interview with, like, Florence Pugh, they ask her about, like, what's the movie about, and she says it's about a woman saying no on and off screen. And it's like, ah! Flo! I love her.
AKA me.
Me.
Me. Me saying no on and off screen.
So the budget for this was $35 million, and so far it's made $9.4 million.
Not great.
But it is only
opening week.
Yeah, we saw it yesterday, so it could change.
I actually feel like I kind of thought the drama for this would make it
better. More popular. Me too.
But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I think the critical reviews of this have hurt it a lot too.
Yes. And a lot of the critics have the same opinions that we do about what we have problems with in the film.
So, I mean, listen, some of the critics are super harsh on this. I don't think it's, like, the worst film ever made.
No.
Like,
but I think that there are some pretty easy to point out things that could have been changed to make this a better film.
And I just want to say, I believe we're about to start getting into...
the plot.
It.
Yes.
So, if you haven't seen it... and you're planning on seeing it...
Tune out
now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys. So now we're going to get into the plot.
Yes. And, yeah, like, overall, this movie wasn't, like, the worst thing I've ever seen by any means. But it just wasn't... A lot of the issues, like, it's hard not to kind of want to attribute them to the drama.
Yeah, the things that were going on, the distractions that it seems like Olivia Wilde was facing in regards to, like... And also
her duties,
and also Harry, you know, he's really out of it. It does not seem like he received that much direction at all.
Yeah, a lot. Like, it's impossible. It was impossible for me to watch this movie and not think about the drama.
Right, exactly. So I'm going to crack open.
Crack open.
Ooh,
a Red Bull. Okay, go ahead. And now, we came in really cold to this movie.
Yeah, I had just seen some of the previews.
I had seen the trailers, pretty much all of them. But the trailers didn't really give much away other than the fact that there was going to be weird shit and sex.
Yes, weird shit and sex. That's really what it exuded in the trailers. But the movie is... It did not really, I don't think, did a very good job of portraying what the movie is actually meant to be about.
I think that the movie largely came off as weird shit and sex.
Yeah. All right. Plot. Alice and Jack Chambers, which are Florence Pugh and Harry Styles, are a young, happy couple in the 1950s, living in an idyllic neighborhood of the company town of Victory, California, which has been created and paid for by the mysterious company of the same name which Jack works for. So we will say, we pretty quickly realized that this was not actually the 1950s.
Yeah, like, right off the bat, you're noticing that they're talking exactly like how we talk. It's, like, the fabric on the clothing is almost, like, just different than, like, the fabric they would have been using. Like, it's, like, it's not natural fibers, it's, like, synthetic fibers.
Right.
There's just a lot of stuff that just, like, is automatically not feeling 1950s. So either you have to assume that this is on purpose.
Right, it's like some kind of simulation of sorts.
Or it's because Olivia Wilde is an incompetent director. At this point, still up in the air.
Yes, yes.
So we kind of, like, literally 15 minutes in the movie, I leaned over to Jane and I said, this is gonna be a simulation.
Yes.
Like, this is gonna be a simulation.
It's pretty clear, I think, outright, that it is a simulation just because of the context clues of it taking you out of the 1950s.
And really, there aren't very many clues that it's a simulation other than, like, if you had to go, like, well, this doesn't really feel like it's accurate to the 1950s. I don't know if that's a great clue.
Yeah, right. Maybe, I think people can misattribute that to
bad directing.
Yeah.
Or even just, like, if you don't know, or you don't watch a lot of old movies, like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't necessarily realize that it's not, I don't know.
Hey.
What can I say?
Every day, the men go to work at Victory headquarters out in the surrounding desert, while their wives, Alice, her friend Bunny, the pregnant Peg, and newcomer Violet and Margaret. So I'll break this down. Alice is Flo Pugh, Bunny is Olivia Wilde, Peg is Kate Berlant, and Violet is this other chick, and Margaret is one of the only people of color in the town, it seems like.
There are some other people of color, but no one that's, like, a big role.
Right.
Like, there are several black women. One of them's married to a guy who looks like he's probably, like, Middle Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
There are some Asian women, like, Chris Pine's wife is an Asian woman.
Which is another thing that's taking us out of it being the 1950s, right?
Yeah, that is another thing that makes you go, like, okay, this is probably not the 1950s, because everyone is, like, there's, like, a lot of diversity.
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity, and, like, it doesn't seem that there's any kind of, like, segregation going on. So that immediately makes you think, like, oh, this is not actually the 1950s.
Yeah, probably not supposed to be the 1950s.
Right. So that's why I mentioned that, just because it definitely does make you think that this might be a simulation.
Yes, but there are people of color. Margaret is not the only person of color. She is just the only person of color with, like, a role.
Right. So
that's not true. Frank's wife has a role.
That's true. The wives stay home to clean, relax, and prepare dinner for their husbands. The women are discouraged from asking questions about their husband's work and are told not to venture out to headquarters due to the dangerous materials the company works with. Yeah, there's, like, they think that they make, like, weapons or something. There's also, like, earthquakes going on.
Yeah, they don't know what they make. Like, they just call it, like, futuristic materials or something.
Right.
That's, like, all they call it.
Margaret has become an outcast among the other wives after taking her son out into the desert, resulting in her son's apparent death. Margaret claims that Victory took her son from her as a punishment, but these claims are dismissed by the others as a trauma-induced paranoia.
Fair.
Fair. While attending a party hosted by Frank, Victory's enigmatic founder and leader, Alice sees Margaret's husband attempting to give her medication. Later, while Alice and Jack secretly have sex in Frank's bedroom, Alice realizes that Frank is observing them but says nothing. We'll talk about this and, like, just... Did stuff get cut?
I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what this movie... There's a lot of stuff in this movie that it's, like, feels like it needs 8 times more context than what you get.
Yes, and, like... The time that you could have been spending on giving us that context is just spent by putting in these weird stylized shots that have actually no meaning or purpose in the plot or the development of the characters.
Yeah. There's a lot of just, like, weird shit. Like, you get tons of that. You're like, yay.
But, like, for what?
But for what? Yeah. For it to look, like, cool?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's the reasoning I'm getting, which is not a good reason to do it.
That's what it feels like.
One morning, while riding the trolley across town, Alice witnesses a red biplane crash somewhere out in the desert. Also, we should mention that the plane is also a huge, like...
The plane gets shown, like, a lot.
With, specifically in regards to Margaret and her son. Like, her son is, like, a red plane going out into the desert, and then, like, she has the plane after he disappears. So the plane is, like, seemingly important, right? You would think.
Yeah, I would think. Like, you're getting a lot of plane imagery.
But it doesn't seem like it's ever really fleshed out. Alice disembarks and rushes into the desert to help, accidentally stumbling on Victory headquarters, a small building covered in mirror-like windows. After touching one of the windows, she experiences surreal hallucinations before waking up back home later that night to find Jack preparing their dinner. So the things that she sees are like a drop of blood, an eye dilating, and then a montage of like black and white, like... synchronized swimming.
Yeah. Type like, thing. It's also like very unclear if she's supposed to be actually seeing these things or if it's like you're just like, what's going on?
Right.
Like, what is happening? Because it's not very clear as to like, is this meant to be literal or is this meant to be like just weird representing something? It's like not clear.
In the following days, Alice begins to experience increasingly strange occurrences. She is almost crushed by a window and a moving wall, and she finds a box of eggs to be filled with only hollow shells. That happens before, right?
I believe that happens before. But I don't know, maybe not.
She receives a phone call from Margaret, who claims to have seen the same thing Alice had. Later, during a dance lesson lectured by Frank's wife, Shelley, Alice sees a vision of Margaret's reflection violently banging her head against a mirror. She rushes back to their neighborhood just in time to see Margaret slit her own throat and fall from the roof of her house. Alice is dragged away by strange men in red jumpsuits before she can reach Margaret's body. And then it has, like, the score is just, like, ha, ha.
The score is, ha, like,
ha. That's the score.
Yeah.
Alice attempts to explain the events to Jack, but Jack dismisses them, explaining that Margaret simply fell while cleaning the windows and is perfectly fine and recovering in the hospital with her husband, who has been forced to leave the Victory Project, in order to care for her. This version is further corroborated by the town physician, Dr. Collins, who claims to have treated Margaret and attempts to give Alice the same prescription drugs. This guy looks like an off-brand John Mulaney.
I literally felt like I kept being like, where do I know this guy from? Like, I've seen this guy and stuff. And I'm pretty sure it's just because he kind of looks like John Mulaney. And maybe I'm, like, primed because Nick
Kroll is in
there,
the movie, yeah.
So I'm like...
I think you're just primed expecting John Mulaney to come.
A little bit.
Alice later breaks into Dr. Collins' briefcase and finds a heavily redacted medical file for Margaret, which she then burns in frustration. Alice becomes increasingly paranoid and confused, feeling as if Frank is watching her every move. Well, I mean, you let him watch you have sex, so, I mean, that's a fair scary thing to think about. During a special Victory event in which Frank gives Jack a special promotion, and there's a dance number?
Okay, yeah. Are they just not gonna bring that up?
Nope.
Because there's a solid, I mean...
3 minute
long
dance
routine that Harry Styles does, at which time he looks so fucking out of it.
He doesn't look like he's even there, like, cognitively.
He looks like he's been drugged, like he's a drugged up little circus kid who's being told to, like, dance for his penance.
Dance for dinner.
Literally, that's what it's like. He has no emotions at all.
He's just giving us nothing. Alice has a breakdown in the bathroom and is comforted by Bunny. Alice attempts to explain everything to Bunny, but Bunny reacts angrily, accusing Alice of being selfish and attempting to ruin everything for everyone, pointing out that she sounds just like Margaret. Sometime later, Alice and Jack invite the rest of the neighborhood, except Bunny and her husband Dean, that's Nick Kroll, by the way. I think it's funny that they're the married couple in this.
Yeah.
To dinner, with Frank and Shelley as special guests, which is kind of unheard of, because Frank doesn't really go to people's houses, is what we're getting.
Yeah, and they bring that up a lot. Like, Frank never goes to people's houses.
Right.
Like, he does not fraternize with the employees.
Right. Frank speaks privately with Alice in the kitchen, intimating that she's right in her suspicions and confessing that he's been waiting for someone like her to challenge him.
What does that mean? Well, you're not going to find out.
No.
So go ahead and just wrap
You can just maybe try to infer, which we try to do, but also it's never fully explained.
Oh, you want
to
know? Well, too bad.
Too bad. This is where the movie really starts. The first half of this movie could be condensed into about 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is the very first scene where I was, like, actually interested in what was happening.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this... Also, it's just mostly Chris Pine and Florence Pugh getting to
They're so act. Good.
They're so good. It's, like, so... Ah! Scary. Spurred on by Frank's confession, Alice attempts to expose him and the inconsistencies in Victory over Dinner. Instead, Frank gaslights her, making her look delusional to the other guests.
Yeah.
In the aftermath, Alice begs Jack to take them both away from Victory. Jack-
I also want to say that, like, after that, there's a part where everyone leaves except for her and Chris Pine, and mm-hmm. Chris Pine, like, talks to her, and he's like, I'm disappointed, like, I thought you would
be more subtle.
Or yeah, like, I thought it would be harder to do what I just did to you, basically.
Right. Alice begs Jack to take them both away from Victory. Jack initially agrees, but when Alice gets in the car, he lets her be taken away by Frank's men. This is the first scene that you're like, oh, Harry Styles is awake.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much first time we're really seeing Harry do anything.
It's very weird. Dr. Collins forces Alice to undergo electroshock therapy. During the procedure, Alice sees visions of herself in another life as a present-day surgeon named Alice Warren, who lives with an unemployed Jack and struggles to make ends meet.
Yep, does happen.
Alice returns to Victory, apparently cured of her hysteria, and reunites with Jack and with Bunny. However, as Alice resumes her normal life, she continues to have hallucinations and flashbacks. Alice later remembers the whole truth, that Victory is a simulated world created by Frank, and that Jack has kidnapped her and forced her into the simulation in the hope that they can lead a perfect life there together. When Jack realizes she knows the truth, he claims he did this for her as she was miserable in her real life. But Alice is enraged that Jack took away her autonomy. Jack hugs Alice, begging her to forgive him, but begins to crush her. And Alice kills him with a glass tumbler in self-defense, killing Jack in the real world as well. Yeah, they stress that the men die in real life if they die in the simulation.
They literally stress the word men. Like, if the men die here, they die for real. That's what Bunny says.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, so I don't know, like, and he is crushing her, but it's kind of unclear in the movie if he's crushing her because she's trying to get away, or if he's crushing her because of some other second reason, like, because he's going to try and, like, grab her and put her back in or something.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. It's not really, like, abundantly clear what's happening there. All you know is, like, okay, he gets hit with a glass and now he's dead.
Right. Frank is alerted to Jack's death and sends his men to capture her. Alice is found with Jack's body by Bunny, who explains that she has known all along that Victory is a simulation, but chooses to stay so she can be with her children who are dead in real life. So Bunny is the only wife who knows what's going on.
So that we know of.
Yeah.
Or that she knows of, yes. I guess.
Bunny tells Alice to flee to Victory headquarters, which is an exit portal from the simulation, and holds off Bill when he attempts to attack Alice for killing Jack. The other wives gradually begin to realize the truth as their husbands start to panic. Alice steals Jack's car and drives out towards Victory headquarters, chased by Dr. Collins and Frank's men. This is a fun car chase.
Yeah, I agree.
She tricks Dr. Collins into killing himself and several others in a car crash. At their house, Shelley stabs Frank to death, claiming it is now her turn. Alice makes it to Victory headquarters, where she encounters a vision of Jack asking her to stay. Alice ignores the vision and rushes to the window just before Frank's men reach her. Well, she pauses. She hesitates.
She hesitates, for sure.
Over a black screen, the sound of Alice gasping for air is heard, implying that she escaped.
Okay, so are we supposed to think that, like, okay, in the way the Wikipedia article worded that, it almost made it seem like Shelley killed Frank because she figured out that it was a simulation?
Right.
But I don't really think that you get that much from the movie. Like, sure, I guess you could interpret it like the women realize what's going on. They all realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But they mostly just seem really confused.
And, like, don't want to be with around their husbands.
Yeah.
So.
Like, they know something's wrong, but I'm not sure that they know what it is.
Right.
There's also multiple times in the movie where, like, multiple... Really, actually, just... Kate's character.
Peg.
Peg has some moments where you can tell she's kind of like...
Questioning. At the dinner scene and stuff, she just seems like confused and is like wanting to figure out what Florence Pugh's talking about. So the original spec script was written by brothers, and the screenplay was on the 2019 blacklist.
Right.
But then Katie Silverman was brought on to do a rewrite, which became the film's screenplay. Mm-hmm. And then Wilde says that the sinister character of Frank was inspired by psychologist and author Jordan Peterson of the carnivore diet.
Which is really funny, by the way.
Yeah.
And I do think reads, at least at the end
of the movie. At the end of the movie, if you know who Jordan Peterson is, you're like, oh, this guy is kind of like...
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Peterson.
Which is really good on Chris Pine's part. I think he does a really good job.
Yeah. At least, like, I don't think I get that through 95% of the movie, but I get it at the very end.
Right. Yeah. So, what is your overarching issue with the film?
My overarching issue with the film is just that there's this massive amount of, like, lead-up
mm-hmm.
for very, very little payoff.
It's like they hold the, like, the moment that you're about to find out what the answer to the mystery is. It's like they hold that pose for, like, an hour.
Yeah, and, like, at the very beginning, okay, we take a little time to establish what life is like. Cool. We take time to establish that Margaret's insane.
Cool, cool.
That needs to be done. And then it's just an hour of weird, random bullshit that seems to have no interconnecting meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense why it's happening. And in this article, they said that, like, some of the weird, all the weird stuff started happening after she visited.
Yeah.
But I believe that some of the weird stuff started happening before she visited.
I think so, too. I really think that the egg thing happened before she got out.
Because she, like, is, the whole reason she's on the trolley and, like, driving around is that she's weirded out.
Right.
Like, the whole reason she's on the trolley at all is because she was like, oh, I need to get fresh air, just, like, going a little crazy.
Exactly.
Like,
so I'm unsure if that happened before or after, but I think it happened before. Some of that, at least some of it happened before. I really think the egg stuff happened before.
I think so too. And
which doesn't make any sense. Because why would she be having these glitches in the Matrix if she hadn't
left? And then, like, there's just a lot of stuff like that where you're like, okay, this doesn't really, like, add up. Like, there's a lot of plot holes that don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reveal the, like, twists, and you're like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that, like, that Harry Styles, like, that they were on the, like, rocks.
Again,
and
it's like, the twist is still kind of weak, though, because it's not impossible to figure out.
Right.
And not really through the clues they give you as much as just what the movie is clearly trying to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I said, we figured out that it was a simulation within the first 15 minutes.
Yes.
From just context clues of writing and styling. And then, I mean, really, if you think about what is this movie supposed to be, it's supposed to be Stepford Wives, it's supposed to be Rosemary's Baby. Mm-hmm. Those are clearly what it's trying to rip off.
The Matrix a little bit in there, yeah.
Okay, well, hey, who's the villain in all of those movies? The husband.
Yeah, right? And it's like, they're trying to play as if, like, oh, Harry Styles doesn't know anything, he's just a little baby. And
which
it's like,
I guess does play? But not on purpose.
No. His acting just seems like he is so checked out for the majority of his scenes.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would put it. Is it like, it's like, hey, Harry, do you know that we're rolling?
Do you know that the camera's, like, pointed at you right now?
Do you know the camera's on right now, buddy?
And it's interesting, like, they don't really address this in the Wikipedia article, but, like, the specificities of the flashback scene of her, like, being an exhausted doctor, coming home, and him being, like, into this weird dark web stuff, which is scary. That idea of, like, your husband getting into this weird misogynist incel cult.
And, like, fucking kidnapping you in order to, like, make his own life better.
Right. And, like, it's interesting because it's shown that, like, he wants her to have sex with him, but then she's like, I'm tired, I can't do it. And that's what we are to believe is spurs on him putting her in the simulation so that they're always fucking in the simulation.
Yeah, well, it's clearly just more like, he's like, oh, she's unhappy, and I'm unhappy because we never do anything together because she's, like, always so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So we, like, never hang out, and he's kind of a loser. Like, and then there's just this, like, constant, like, oh, what is, like, Harry Styles, I guess, is, like, what a sweet guy, or, like,
right.
I don't know. It just doesn't come off as, like, they don't play the right stuff.
No, they don't. I don't think so either. And we were thinking about, like, what would this movie look like with, like, an actor. So, like, we were thinking, like, Steven Yeun, Andrew Garfield, anyone.
Anyone. it's just every choice that is made. And to be honest, I don't really blame... Sure, Harry Styles isn't an actor, and that's, like, clear.
Right.
But I don't really blame anyone for the problems with this movie other than Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, I mean, the things that I have an issue with are obviously directorial issues.
And I guess some writing things, too, but, like...
We also don't know how much was changed for, like, the stylized things that she wanted to put in the movie, obviously.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, how much of that was initially in the script, you know?
None of us, and we'll probably never know that.
Right.
But, like, a lot of the issues that I have with this movie are things like, okay, all the stuff that I want to know... It's touched on a little. It's touched on, I guess, enough to move the plot forward, but they don't delve into anything about what's interesting in this movie. They don't really delve into how did Harry Styles become a part of this.
Yeah, and they don't even talk about, we were talking about this earlier, about, like, does Harry Styles actually work for this company, or is he just a consumer who is paying to have this simulation? Because we're to believe that he, like, exits the simulation every day to go out and work, so, and tend to Florence Pugh's body, right?
He basically says, like, at one point, like, I have to leave every day in order to, like, make it so we can stay here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not clear whether, like...
He's working for Victory?
He's working, yeah, for Victory, or if he has a separate job and he's paying Victory.
Right. So that is unclear. But it says also that there's, like, 70-something men who are, like, in this.
Yeah, and it's pretty... Or I think there's 79 users.
Right.
So that's, like, 35 men.
Right.
And their wives. But then there's also, like, okay, like, the doctor, he doesn't have a wife.
Yeah, so why is he there? What is he getting from this? Is he just an employee?
He must just be an employee. Like, he just wants to get paid.
Yeah.
From, like, doing this work. And then, like, there's just a lot of stuff like that where you're like, And also, why does Frank's wife stab him?
Yeah, that's really not explained. Was there something cut that, like, we're missing?
Yeah, like, what does she mean when she says, it's my turn now? What does that fucking mean? And what does it mean? Like, there's just so much. You're like, what?
Yeah, this just not elaborated upon.
And, like, even more... Okay, I hate that this movie is supposed to be, like, oh, feminist film. Because it just doesn't feel, like... The stuff that you get outside of the movie, with Olivia Wilde being like, nobody does good sex for women anymore.
Right.
Nobody focuses on women's pleasure. This movie is not about female pleasure.
No, it is really a scary movie about, like, the danger of losing your autonomy.
Yeah.
And, like, it's interesting that she's talking about female pleasure when in the film, like, we're supposed to think, oh, Harry Styles is such a good guy, always going down on his wife.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, to me that, like, the sex that happens, it's like, well, it's sex that benefits the woman that, like, generally you would show in a film if you wanted to show what a good guy somebody was.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, it's like, well, yeah, it's female sex, like, sexual pleasure, but it's...
It's still not consensual because she did not initially consent to be this in the
simulation.
So it is non-consensual.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's just supposed to be, like, here's the thing, like, I can see a world in which you make the point that it's like, yeah, he thinks he's such a good guy and he has all these good guy traits, but at the end of the day, like, his core being is misogynistic. Which is scary, because it's like, it shows how hard it can be to identify some of these guys sometimes, but I don't feel like they make that clear.
Right, I agree.
It almost comes off as... Olivia Wilde thinks Harry Styles is a sexy man, so she made him have all these cool sex scenes, and isn't it so feminist to have a woman being eaten out?
And yeah, for watching Florence Pugh come, and it's like, that's really not what the movie seems to be about, and actually whenever you're looking back at those scenes knowing what the actual movie is about, they're more sinister.
Yeah, but again, another big problem, and again, this is a directing issue, I mean it is an acting issue, but it's a directing issue more than anything. Harry Styles never plays that he has a secret.
Nope.
He plays 100%, 1 billion, million percent, nothing's going on. He's 100% innocent until the twist.
And if we look at the, like, what he's being built off of, which is, like, Guy Woodhouse from Rosemary's Baby, like, that's pretty much the, like, the archetype that he's trying to emulate.
Yeah.
Like, that is played so much better.
And it's supposed to be, like, what it should be is, okay... Is she crazy or not?
Mm-hmm.
Is she actually insane? What is going on? You have to see the facade drop sometimes so that you wonder.
But he's so checked out that you're not getting any of that. I think that maybe in the hands of a better actor, it may have read.
Well, here's the thing. I think in the hands of a better actor would have just done it.
Right.
And would not have needed direction to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the hands of a better director, he would have been coached on playing those things.
Right. Or at least a director who's not fucking him.
Yeah.
Aw, baby, you're so cute.
But then again, I don't know. It's like, this is only Olivia Wilde's second picture. Maybe this woman isn't a good director, and she just is good at casting.
Right, and the casting was just good in Booksmart.
Yeah.
We don't know.
It's possible.
I have some reviews, not review, but like, not like you have a review, but right. Like critic reviews. So, they have the similar problems that we have with the film. This is from The Guardian. I'm going to skip the part where they explain what the movie's about.
Okay.
The problem is that Wilde leans too heavily on surface and style as a distraction from the fact that the story itself is riddled with inconsistencies and barely holds together. The same is true of Stiles, who is too inexperienced as an actor to deliver the complexity that this role requires. He's glassily superficial, giving a performance entirely untroubled by a hint of an interior life.
Basically, yeah. Yes! Like, it just feels like at any moment, whatever he's saying is what he genuinely believes.
Right.
There's no secret. There's no hidden life that he has. He doesn't, like, when she asks, like, what do you do at Victory? Harry Styles doesn't know what he does at Victory.
Right, he's not conveying that he's telling a lie.
He's not lying because he doesn't know.
In contrast, Pugh is phenomenal, throwing everything she has into her role and carrying large chunks of the film more or less single-handedly. We have a small favor to add. Oh, wait, I don't want to donate.
Give us money.
So that is from the Guardian. And then I also have one from NPR. As Pugh's Alice becomes more and more unnerved by her surroundings, the script calls on her to become more confrontational as the tension in her performance rises. The curiosity and the unease rise with it. The film holds this pose probably too long, playing with its contrast of ominous and aesthetically beautiful, including in the increasingly literal score with its creepy, breathy ha, ha, ha vocals. And then, eventually, as it must, it answers the question that lies at its heart, the way whodunit lies at the heart of an Agatha Christie novel. Here that question is just, what is going on?
But it doesn't answer it! I mean, it does a little bit. It answers what's going on with her.
That's where Don't Worry Darling falters. There's an effort to make the answer to the mystery, which I will not reveal, obviously, feel timely and relevant and even daring. The answer is a perfectly passable, if not terribly interesting solution to the baffling situation that Alice has been in. The problem is that the answer to the mystery's central question doesn't fit terribly well with the particular pieces of evidence it needs to explain.
That's what I'm just like. It's like if you watch a murder mystery, and then at the end the killer is like someone you never met, or there were absolutely zero indicators that was the killer, you're like, that's a bad murder mystery because I couldn't have figured it out. And this, it's like, you could have figured it out, but not for the reason they were trying to give you.
I can tell you that having seen the movie, I understand what the answer to Alice's foundational dread was, but I still don't know why the plane falters in the sky. I still don't entirely know why specifically that woman is on the roof. I'm not sure why Alice gets squashed between the wall and the window.
Yes, what is that? Like, what's happening?
To the degree of setup that Don't Worry Darling is something is terribly wrong, the film will eventually tell you what's wrong. What it doesn't do is explain why that terribly wrong situation is causing these particularly terribly wrong details.
Yes, it's like, and we talked about this yesterday, which is everything that she experiences happens for no reason. Like, there's nothing, like, okay, if I was going to make this movie, and I have never made a movie, not once, the things that I would have Florence be having issues with would maybe be, like, physical problems.
Right, that would be, like, informed by her actual
body. So maybe there's something in her eye and she can't get it out. And you can have a really freaky, scary, uncomfortable scene of her trying to dig something out of her eye.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, you could have problems with her, like, never feeling full, like, mm-hmm. one day she looks down and, like, none of the food is, like, working. Like, none of the food, like, she opens it. Like, the egg thing could still be in there, as long as you're making it more clear what it was.
Right.
Or it's stuff like that. Versus, why is she putting saran wrap around her
That head? Doesn't make any sense.
What is that about?
What is that informing?
What's with the women in their little ballet poses? What is that informing?
Aesthetics.
Exactly. It's all just like, it just screams like, I just finished a semester of film school and look at all these cool tricks I learned. I'm going to put them all into my movie right now.
It's like she's filling a rubric.
Yeah. But even worse, it's like, it's just as, like, if I feel like if I asked why did that happen, the answer would just be because it is cool.
Right. Which is not a good reason to do it. The issue with Don't Worry, Darling is that it creates a beautiful lock and a perfectly passable key, but when you put the key in the lock, it doesn't quite turn. You don't get that satisfying click. Watching the lock be built was still a pleasure. There's even still some relief of pressure in seeing what the key looks like, but the interplay between them isn't seamless the way it should be. If this problem of a disconnect between the clues and the solution sound familiar, they're going to bring up Lost. Very strange. Had Don't Worry, Darling paid off in the way that Lost did, emotionally and with a satisfying conclusion for Alice as a character, it might matter less that the whole thing doesn't make a lot of sense if you sit with it for more than about 60 seconds. But partly because the movie hovers for so long and that in that very pleasurable and effective liminal space of tension building and portent, it doesn't have much time to spend with its resolution.
Yeah, it's like you spend so long building it up that your payoff isn't good. If you had spent considerably less time building it up, the payoff would have hit a lot more.
Yes.
But because so much of the movie is just like, look at all this weird shit, she's trying to figure it out. And like, the thing is she never figures anything out.
No.
Like, she exits one time by accident. And then doesn't really realize what happened because she gets put back in. And then, like, the next time she finds out what's happening, she finds out because the electroshock therapy gives it back to her. And then she is put back under. And then when she figures it out again, it's just because, like, she's, like,
having memories from the electroshock therapy.
And because it didn't work. And he hums. And it's like,
Which the song is not stressed enough throughout the film to make it, like, meaningful whenever he does hum that song.
No, not at all. But then it's like, you could have had her, like, figuring things out, like, herself without just, like, God coming down and deciding it was her time to know.
Right.
Which is essentially what is happening. It's essentially like, well, why is it happening to her? Well, because I guess the universe just decided it was time for her to start having memories.
So the resolution seems rushed and leaves the distinct impression that there are pieces missing that perhaps once offered more answers to specific questions about who does what to whom and why.
So interesting that we said that, like, in the movies we said that exact thing where we were like, I wonder if there's stuff that got cut out of this.
Yes, it's context because stuff.
It feels like they're playing something that I haven't seen.
Yes.
Like, Florence Pugh, Chris Pine, they're giving me something. Mm-hmm. Like, they're giving me, like, that there is context and that it makes sense. But whatever it is that gave them the context, we don't have it.
Yeah, we don't know why she let him watch them fuck.
No, we don't know anything. Like, we know literally basically nothing other than Harry Styles' character put her in the simulation because he wanted their lives to be better.
It's a shame because there are some good performances here, including both Pugh and Pine, very believable as a dangerous boss, and there are some truly scary shots that work very well. But while too much explanation can doom a mystery as easily as too little, this is a case in which a little more explicit information about the workings of this neighborhood might have gone a long way.
I gotta agree. It makes me want to see Chris Pine in a horror film.
I know, he's really creepy.
He's amazing. And Florence Pugh obviously is great at horror.
She's so good. I want them to be in a different horror movie together.
Yes. I would love to see them. And I, you know, it seems like they did get along, so hopefully they do get a chance to work together.
Yeah, it seems like they're friends because they, I mean, the way they interacted on the...
It seems like they got along quite well.
Right. And she called him out, like, on the, like, I love you, Chrissy.
Yeah. So I hope that...
they work together again.
I hope they work together again because they really have amazing chemistry.
They were so good. That scene at the dinner table is so good. They were just, like, perfect. I was really impressed with both of them. That's when the movie, I was like, oh, this is a movie.
Yeah. And you know something that's interesting is, like, there's a lot of rumors, and these are all rumors, but that all of the cast basically hated Harry Styles.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just because Harry Styles was banging their director, which is, of course, probably upsetting, but even more than that, that all of the people that are cast in this are very serious actors who all have done, have had very good picks on projects, mm-hmm. who clearly put in a lot of work, who clearly have studied this craft. And it's like every single person on it, it's like, wow, we're all going to be, you know, the energy is going to be amazing. We're going to be killing off of each other. It's going to be like so good. And then it's like,
womp womp, Harry.
Harry Styles, who got this because obviously the director wanted to sleep with him.
I mean, his style, so you wanted to fuck him.
And you did start fucking him immediately, basically, let's be honest. But then it's like, all of that happens, and then, I mean, yeah, it discredits what you're there for.
Yes.
Because you're thinking you're making this movie with this woman who had this incredible directorial debut. She has these amazing ideas about feminist movies. You're so excited to be a part of it. Everyone that's in it is, like, such a name.
Yep.
And then, oh, hey, it's Harry Styles' basically debut fucking film. Let's put him in as the fucking lead.
Not as one, not as, like, Nick Kroll's character. Mm. But as the lead.
Nick Kroll would have
been better
for that role than Harry Styles.
And he's a comedy actor. He would have been better.
I 100% believe Nick Kroll would have done better in that role than Harry Styles.
Yes.
And that's, like, and you got cast because you're hot. And then now, and also, it's probably hard not to resent him because that's what the whole movie became about.
Yes, that's what the whole movie became about, was him, like, going down on her.
Was him, was Harry Styles. Oh, wow, it's the Harry Styles movie. And it's like, no.
No, that's not.
And I'm sorry, it just rubs me the wrong fucking way that Olivia Wilde was like, really, we should be grateful to Harry for taking anything less than a lead role.
Yes. Oh my God. That's really upsetting. That's very upsetting.
Well, thank you, Chris Pine, for agreeing to be in a movie with a woman.
What a hero.
What a hero.
A champion for women.
A champion of feminism.
Don't call me king feminist or
don't
anything.
Don't call me king feminist. God damn, I just, you know, took, you know, I just took a role that wasn't the lead. I just took a role in a movie where a woman was the lead. And that's, you know,
that's a heroic act in and of itself.
Because so many actors, I mean, the Hollywood's just basically running around with actors who will refuse to work in movies where women are the leads. It's like, or are, you know, maybe you're just not making movies with female leads. And maybe you could find actors just fucking fine.
Yeah.
Because they're actors and then they want a paycheck.
Yes. Wow.
Thank you, Harry Styles, champion of feminism, for agreeing to be in a movie with women.
Harry, king of the feminists.
King of the feminists. Hey, those florals plus this?
Plus this,
goddamn.
Feminist king.
Feminist king.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I know that people are like, well, if you're shocked by that Olivia Wilde is, like, sleeping with her star, like, wait until you hear about other, like, male directors. And it's like, yeah, but I just don't think that's a good practice.
Yeah, it's not a good practice, and it's especially a hypocritical practice for a director who has made a fucking image of herself of, I'm doing it right.
Right.
I'm doing directing as directing should be done. I'm not doing all the weird, gross bullshit that men are doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no,
no,
you're doing everything that the gross, weird men are doing. You're just pretending to be hyper-feminist about it.
Yeah, and she's not.
She's so, it just screams white feminism.
Yes!
White, rich lady feminism is like what Olivia Wilde screams.
The Gwyneth Paltrow brand of feminism.
Gwyneth Paltrow, yeah, goop feminism, for fucking sure. For fucking sure it's goop, baby. It's Olivia.
It's all, it all leads back to goop.
It's always been goop. And that's how I feel. It's like Olivia Wilde just loves goop and like read Gwyneth's blog and was like, I'm going to be a director.
That we all have Gwyneth Paltrow to thank.
Yeah. Listen, Gwyneth, do what you want to do, baby. But like, come on. Where's the line? You know? Like, when are we going to say enough's enough, goop? Your influence, you've gone too far.
Oh my goodness. What would you give this film?
Maybe, like, a 4 or a 5. Like, it's way too long.
It's 90-minute movie. It's begging to be a 90-minute movie. It's
begging to be a 90-minute movie.
It's like, please cut me. Please.
It's very beautiful. The last 45 minutes are interesting and thrilling.
And Florence Pugh's so good.
And Florence Pugh, like, the acting really is the reason this movie is.
Right. I mean,
getting minus stars.
Minus Harry Styles.
Minus Harry Styles. Other than that, every other person in this is fucking killing.
And he wouldn't have even looked that bad if she hadn't cast amazing actors on every other front.
Or someone's just, like, cut from him. Don't put him in the shot. Put him in less.
Yes.
Like, that's another thing, too. Like, he just needs to be there less.
He just wants to see a little of his beautiful face.
He just needs to be in the movie less. And I don't know, like, it just, a lot, like, bad directing, bad writing calls that were made. Now, when I looked up writers, Olivia Wilde was a credited writer.
Okay.
So, that does tell me that, at least in the making of the movie, things did get rewritten because Olivia Wilde wanted them rewritten. Mm-hmm. And
we see that she got let go, that she did not, is not doing that new movie that's coming out because she wanted to rewrite it, right? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's just a lot of, like, stuff that really annoys me about everything about this film. But the last 45 minutes, it shows that it's like, wow, this is what this whole movie could
have been. This is why these actors signed on to do this movie.
And this is what this whole movie could have been. And the ending does fall flat, mainly because when it ends, you're just like, that's all we get? Like, I want more of that.
Right.
It's not that the ending is bad in that it's unwatchable or anything. It's just that after all that you have to sit through to get there, you're like, that's all we get?
Mm-hmm. It should have just been a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, I mean, they should have just cut a lot of the beginning. They should have cut a lot of the beginning, and they should have fleshed out the end longer.
Yeah,
I agree. That would have been a really nice movie. That would have been a good movie.
I think so, too.
But
I'd give it a 5.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, I was enthralled by the end, but again,
too little, too late.
Just, like, the more, and also the more you sit with it, the more you're like, that's it.
Yeah, and also, like, the logic doesn't make a ton of sense, and there are a lot of plot holes in, like, the explaining of, like, why are these weird things happening?
In that, there are just no explanations.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, man. Got a review?
Yeah.
What does this movie have on IMDb? Like, overall, is like 40s?
I think it's like a 6.
Okay.
It's not horrible. A lot of the reviews are 1-star reviews, and then 7s make up the rest, basically.
Okay.
Okay, this is a 1 out of 10, and it says, the Razzies are heating up. Wow, it's a neck-and-neck race between this and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies for Worst Picture. Though Pearl, Orphan 2, and Nope are strong contenders.
Nope's good!
I think Nope is good, too. I haven't seen Pearl, this is honestly as good of a race for Worst Picture as the race was in 1995 for Best Picture at the Oscars.
What was that?
I don't know.
Now I'm curious.
Let me look it up. 1995 Best Picture nominees.
I totally lost my phone.
It was 4 Weddings and a Funeral, Quiz Show, Shawshank Redemption, Pulp Fiction, and Forrest Gump.
Oh, so they're just like a Pulp Fiction simp.
And Shawshank Redemption. And Forrest Gump, I guess.
Interesting. Those are my favorite movies.
Truly a remarkably abysmal year for films so far, but there's still time for redemption. Movies this year like Mad God, Give Me Faith. I mean, where to even begin with Darling? I guess I'll start by saying it's probably the slowest paced, most boring script I've ever seen in my life, if you can call it that on screen. Some people are calling this a slow burn, yet something has to be burning for that.
Is anything on fire?
This is just staring at an unlit candle in a hot baking sun, waiting for something to happen. Oh. You grow less and less patient. Darling is 2 hours of nothingness. Nothing happens during the entirety of this movie, and the twist is so lazy and uninspired. I wish to just cut to black midway through without even the credits to follow. Pugh is literally just her character from Midsommar, as in she just sobs and is in hysterics the whole movie. Harry Styles plays Harry Styles. This movie has a $30 million budget, and yet it basically takes place in one house in a desert. Where did the money go? If this movie didn't have the names attached to it, not a single person would ever mention it, let alone praise it. But because of the star power and added drama to the press, it's getting all the attention. Far more worrisome is that the movie will probably make profit. Don't let the star power fool you. Don't worry, darling. It's worse than you would find after scrolling for hours through the abyss that is the Netflix or Hulu horror section. Hard-earned 1 out of 10. Hard-earned 1 out of 10.
Harsh.
But
I agree with some.
Kind of agree.
Yeah.
The candle analogy is really
good. Really good. That's really eloquent, honestly.
Yeah, that's actually pretty true. It's kind of exactly how I would put it.
That's what, you know, you should put that in quotes whenever advertising the movie for, like, the Razzies, that review.
Olivia Wilde's like, no, just wait, it's a slow burn. And you're like, Olivia, you're not understanding that, like, the sun doesn't have enough power to light the candle on fire. And she's like, I'm doing this a feminist way. And you're like, no, Olivia, you've got to do something to light the candle.
Just showing cunnilingus doesn't make you feminist, Olivia.
Well, it might.
Well.
Especially if it's my boyfriend.
Well, you know, he's so cute, though.
He's so hot, and he wears florals.
Guys, he wears florals. He's perfect for the role.
Come on. His style totally meshed with that of the character.
Wow. Nick Kroll should have been the lead in this, if anyone in this movie should have been the lead. Well, Chris Pine should stay as that guy, as Frank, because he's so scary. My goodness. All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed our episode on Don't Worry, Darling.
Sorry. It's disappointing. So far, this year has been kind of a disappointing year for movies.
Yeah, Nope was good.
Everything else?
Pretty disappointing. I'm trying to think of what else is coming out this year that I'm looking forward to. I don't know. I need to see Barbarian, which is like that new horror movie mm-hmm. that's out. I heard it's really good. I really need to see that. All right, guys. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.